Your chart of accounts is the listing of accounts that you are using to categorize transactions that then turn into your financial statements. Some people do this themselves, and it's not always the best practice.
Okay.
It's very easy to mess up. Overall, 25% of the cleanup jobs that we get, we see like
incorrect accounts.
Yeah. Welcome to the Know Your Worth show, where we teach you how to think about your money differently so that you can achieve your sexy money goals. I'm Sydney, your money maven and owner of Know Your Worth.
And I'm Kristen, Sid's dimepiece bestie, team member, and busy mom of twins, here to make sure that those of us without a financial degree can still level up with each episode. Let's get started on reaching your next goal.
Oh, welcome to the Know Your Worth podcast. I am one of your hosts, Sydney Conway.
And I'm Kristen Fedeli, Sid's bestie and assistant and person.
Yeah. We're in episode 27. So thank you all for being here and listening in. Today, we are going to talk about red flags again. We're going to talk about some of the mishaps that we've seen in our clients' books, and it goes along with not understanding some of the basics in your bookkeeping, specifically in regards to accounts and the classification of the types of accounts.
Please dive deeper.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's go for a swim.
So when you are creating your accounts in QuickBooks, there is an area of QuickBooks, and it's an accounting term in general, but it's called the chart of accounts. So your chart of accounts is the listing of accounts that you are using to categorize transactions that then turn into your financial statements.
Okay, so like business, personal, checking, is that what you're talking about?
Some of it, yes, to an extent. Okay. So the chart of accounts would be like your bank accounts are at the top of it. So it's your assets are at the top on the balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
But you're checking one, checking two, checking three, mm-hmm. savings one, savings two, credit card two. But then there's also your fixed asset account and your depreciation account, your accounts receivable, accounts payable, your loan account, line of credit.
So people do all of this themselves?
They can do all of it themselves. Yeah, that's an exactly.
That's scary.
If you're not watching this on YouTube, Kristen just made a scared face and she's right to do so. Some people do this themselves and it's not always the best practice.
Okay.
It's very easy to mess up.
Okay, well, yeah. Tell us what you've seen.
So I have seen clients make accounts and they're thinking that they're creating new expense accounts and they make them as bank accounts.
I don't know the difference between an expense account and a bank account.
So
if you don't either, let me ask the question for you.
Yeah, it's so exactly. And this is something that anybody in the accounting industry knows. It's a
basic.
Accounting 101 and especially bookkeeping 101. But if you're not an accountant or have had any accounting background, this is something where when people are talking about account classifications and chart of accounts and the way that you structure it, it can be very daunting, but when you're talking to an accountant, they're going to talk about it so fluidly because it is such a normal kind of 101 thing
language.
For us
yeah.
that if you're uncomfortable asking the question, like that's what we're here to do right now, because I have seen a lot of clients that when they're doing their DIY books, mess this up.
Okay.
So whenever you are in your chart of accounts, you are creating an account in your QuickBooks that's going to show up in your financial statements, depending on how you present your financial statements.
Okay.
Your chart of accounts have a couple different options for what kind of account you're creating. You can be creating an asset account, a liability account, or an owner's equity account.
Okay.
On the balance sheet. Then you can create a revenue account or an expense account. And there are also different versions of an other income or other expense. It can be broken down to be a little bit more specific on those ones. But generally speaking, we've talked about our financial statements. You have your balance sheet and your profit and loss statement. And then within your balance sheet, you have your assets, liabilities, owner's equity.
Mm-hmm.
And on your profit and loss statement, you have your revenue and expenses.
Okay.
Those are the classifications, very overview of the types of accounts you can make.
High level.
Yes, very high level. Yes, exactly. So if we were to look on the balance sheet specifically now and in the asset section specifically, we would see the asset accounts obviously there that are your bank accounts, your accounts receivable, your current asset account, so prepaid expenses. And that's where it can get tricky with the language because it's a prepaid expense, but that's an asset, not an expense.
Okay.
At this point, there are a lot of weird
nuances
to it.
Yeah.
Then if you were to look at your liabilities, that's where you would have your credit card. You would have your accounts payable. You would have any loan accounts there. Then in your owner's equity, you'd have your owner draw, your retained earnings. That's where you would see those. Then on the income statement, we'd have your revenues. That's where you'd have your sales account. That's where you would have your other income or different sales breakouts in your revenue. Then you'd have your expenses. And this is where you would see rent, payroll, office supplies and expenses, depreciation. You would see just a lot of other expenses. Anything that you would think of a tax deduction typically or a write-off would be in your expense section of your income statement.
Okay.
When you are creating your chart of accounts, you are picking all of the different accounts that you are mapping transactions to.
Okay.
In QuickBooks, when you go to create an account, say you are categorizing a transaction and say it was Adobe, for example, you see an Adobe charge come up and you need to categorize that. And you have a newer QuickBooks account, so you don't yet have an office supplies or a software account, and you're going to create one. So you'd click add new account, and QuickBooks would automatically populate this screen where you're adding a new account into your chart of accounts. Mm-hmm. You have to pick the account type, the account classification, and then you name the account.
Okay.
What I've seen happen is that the first account type that populates is bank account, because that's just first in the order. So I've seen clients that we've gotten that have gone to create software and they don't change it from bank account because they don't know. And then they just change it to office expenses or software and they click add. So now they're adding expenses to what's considered a bank account. So when they run their income statement,
it looks like they have all that money. So you're saying I paid for this software, but actually you're saying like I have this money. Instead
yes,
of
exactly.
I paid for the software.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you notice, oh, I have all these bank accounts?
You theoretically should. The problem is that in QuickBooks, I think most people don't look at the balance sheet
on
a month-to-month basis.
They're just doing the day-to-day, like,
and when they run their report, they run their income statement because they want to see the money they made and the expenses.
Gotcha.
And if you categorize that account wrong, it won't pull up on the profit and loss statement.
And so unless you were specifically looking for that Adobe thing and like, where did I put that?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you're just going to keep racking up bank accounts. Oh, that's probably alarming when they figured that out.
Mm-hmm. And there's some that then don't always do it into a bank account. Maybe they've done a couple because they just didn't realize they were doing it. But then they've categorized other accounts incorrectly. They categorize it as an accounts receivable when it shouldn't be, or they categorize it as
like a liability.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just miscategorizing where it should go.
And I'm guessing by the time you get your hands on it, it's a big problem and they've done it multiple times.
Yes.
So it's like a spider web.
Yes.
Okay.
And so
I'm just picturing what I would do.
Yeah, it is. It's like a spider web. And depending on how long the issue goes back, we can either correct it by undoing it and recategorizing it to the right account. But say they've already filed taxes and this is for however many years ago, mm-hmm. we have to say, okay, are we making a journal entry this year? Are we amending your taxes from prior years? Like, how are we unwinding this mistake? Yeah. And it kind of depends on the severity of it for what we would recommend.
So you can make a journal entry in 2024 to amend a problem that happened in 2018.
I would say so, and this is where tax accountants out there or the IRS, if you're listening, feel free to let us know what you want to see. But I can tell you that typically, if your taxes are misstated, you would want to amend them.
Okay.
I'm going to say that. If your taxes are misstated, you would want to amend them.
That feels like a very safe statement.
If it is something minuscule, say you put $10 of a software expense into a bank account, that means you didn't write it off in the prior year. We'll write it off for you in the current year.
Okay.
So we will reclassify it. We'll make a journal entry to correct it in the current year, and we will submit your taxes that way.
Okay.
Most tax accountants that we've worked with where we have done cleanup jobs and we've done big correcting entries in the current year, they submit their taxes that way. They don't typically go back and amend for the corrections that we're providing.
Gotcha.
If you have grossly misstated your taxes in prior years, you might want to go back and redo them. Maybe you paid a lot of money and you shouldn't have. So you might want to go back and get your money back and amend because you might be claiming a loss in this year, but if you amended, you'd claim a loss in multiple years, mm-hmm. or you wouldn't have owed as much in multiple years. And so you could save your money that way. So you might want to go back and amend. And I would talk to your tax accountant about the best practice for you and what that means and if you should go back and amend or not. But I'd say it's from my experience and the tax accountants we've worked with for our clients, we'll let them know what adjusting entries we're making for any misstatements in prior years. And I'd say it's been about 80% we just correct in the current year, and maybe 20% they've gone back and amended. I'd be interested if any other bookkeepers are listening to this or tax professionals, if you have any thoughts on what you've said to your clients or done for your clients. But with ours, for the most part, we would make the correction in the current year that we're cleaning up, and we would let the tax accountant know all of the corrections that we made, and then they would let us know how they want to treat that. For the most part, we've corrected in the current year and filed that way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How many people that come to you with a QuickBooks cleanup are like, hey, I really messed something up and I don't know what it is?
It's about 50-50.
Okay.
I'd say
and then when
50,
you get
50.
It in, is it like the classifications of what we were talking about?
We've seen that. The cleanup jobs that we get are 50-50. They've really messed some things
like
up and they need help.
Take it and fix it.
Yeah. And then the other 50% are like, hey, I just didn't have the time. So it's not really messed up, but they just have a lot of transactions that we have to clean up. Overall, 25% of the cleanup jobs that we get, we see like
incorrect accounts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then for people who are just starting to listen, can you talk about what a QuickBooks cleanup looks like with Know Your Worth? Because I feel like this is the time to decide if you want to sign on for that.
Yeah, absolutely. What we would do is if you've been out of whack for a long time, you'd give us a call and say, I've been out of whack for a long time. And if you already have QuickBooks online, we would typically ask for accountant access to the QuickBooks. And so we can see what's going on. How big is this cleanup? I used to not ask for access before, and I've gotten myself into some pretty sticky situations. So I do typically ask now for access. And then I found out that's really like common practice by joining some of the Facebook groups for bookkeepers and things like that to see what other bookkeepers do. Pretty much everyone insists on seeing the books before they clean up the job, before they offer a proposal for the job, what the price would be.
Which makes
so
sense.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. And it saved us a lot. It also just gives us a better picture and it helps us be more clear on what's the actual timeline look like. Yeah. How long is this going to take?
Clear expectations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We will go in, we'll take a look at the typical kind of red flag items. When was the last time the bank accounts were reconciled? What are the accounts in the chart of accounts? Are there any opposite balances? So do you have any negative balances in cash? Do you have any negative balances in accounts receivable or accounts payable? Because they shouldn't show up as negative on your financial statements. Mm-hmm. So when you run your reports, they shouldn't show up as negative. They should always show up as positive. And they would only show up as negative if they were incorrect, pretty much. Or if it's a timing issue, if you're running like a accrual basis accounts or anything like that, that's when we would maybe see negatives. But if we're seeing negatives that shouldn't be negatives, we'd look at that. And then from there, we would look at kind of an analytics of what was this account balance last year? What is it this year? Does it look like it's really far off? So that's kind of how we would start. And then from there, we would say, okay, this is what our price is. This is how long it's going to take. This is the data that we need from you. Mm-hmm. And then we'd really dig into saying, okay, what period are we starting with? This is the beginning balance of all of the balance sheet accounts. So all the bank accounts should be this balance. What adjusting entries do we need to make? We'll make them in the beginning of the period that we're cleaning up. So say we're cleaning up right now, 2024, you've already filed everything for 2023. So we don't really want to mess up 2023 right now. We're going to make our adjusting entries on 1/1/2024. And we'll let your tax accountant know these are the adjusting entries that we have. And they can talk with us if they want to change anything for last year or going forward. That's just what they're going to do and work with it from there.
So you have done cleanups in the past where you're like, hey, we'll clean up this entire past year for you. And then we'll set you up with month-to-month bookkeeping. Like, we'll clean up your mess and then we'll keep it tidy.
Yep. We've done it where we've cleaned up 3 years. That's the longest time period we've done is clean
How
up
long did
three
that
years.
Take?
A long time.
Yeah, man. Guys, just get a bookkeeper. Just get a bookkeeper.
Yeah.
Take your hands off the keyboard.
Just take a step back.
Take a step back. Put your feet up. Watch a show.
Or if you're going to do it yourself, listen to this podcast, look at your stuff, because again, like I know we talked about this a lot last episode, it's important that you know what's going on, but you don't need to understand how to create the accounts in QuickBooks. That doesn't make you understand how to run your business. Understanding the intricacies of accounting doesn't have to be your strong suit. You can leave that to bookkeepers and tax professionals and accountants. But we want you to understand what it means once you see the data, and you need to understand the data, but you don't need to necessarily understand the inputs as the business owner. We're happy to do that for you. Happy yes. to do that for you. And if you're insistent on doing it yourself, definitely learn. Yeah. Buy a course. Call us up.
Get on YouTube.
Yep. There are plenty of resources out there.
Yeah.
You can DIY it, but it's sticky if you're not totally confident in it. You can really get yourself in
a pickle. It would behoove you to call a bookkeeper.
It would behoove you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So make sure you're classifying your accounts correctly. Take a look. There are sample chart of accounts on the internet. All over. You can ask ChatGPT for a sample chart of accounts. They will provide it to you. The example of what I would type in is, please provide a chart of accounts. Or apparently you're not supposed to say please to ChatGPT because
why?
Then ChatGPT interprets it like they have the option to do what they want.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
too nice. Like, you have to be very specific and direct with ChatGPT. If you say please, it's, oh, I'll just find the first thing, or, oh, I'll just...
Really?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Like,
I don't know.
This person's a freaking pushover. Just give them some bullshit answer.
Yeah, I guess. That's what someone told me. I don't know. If there anyone out there is an AI expert.
I've been saying please and thank you to ChatGPT the entire time.
I say thank you, exclamation point.
Me too.
So in ChatGPT say, hey, you, hey thing, make me this.
Or else yeah. I'm going to unplug you.
I will never use you
So
if you
not
say,
buy your premium version.
Hey, ChatGPT, create me a chart of accounts for my hair salon business. I am a single member LLC taxed as a sole proprietor. Create me a chart of accounts standard for my industry.
Do it now.
You better cut the bullshit. See what comes up.
Good luck, guys. Let us know. Drop it in the comments.
Yeah.
And subscribe.
And then test if you ask please the next time and see what happens. You're going to get something wildly different.
Yeah. I'm going to go home and just test it all night.
Yeah.
I have nothing better to do.
You can do that. You can find templates online for chart of accounts. You can do it if you want to. And if you don't want to, you can call us.
And that should be our motto.
It's true.
Yeah.
You can do it if you want, but
know your worth and know your limits.
That's a good one. I like that a lot. We should get that on t-shirts.
Like the front.
Know your worth, know your limits. Call us for bookkeeping help.
Yeah. We're going to go design those shirts.
We are right now.
We will see you next week. Yeah.
If you found a bit of inspiration in this episode for achieving your sexy money goals, click the subscribe button on your favorite podcast app or YouTube so that you never miss an episode. If you're a growing entrepreneur, but you're still managing your own bookkeeping, it's time to bring on a bookkeeper to make sure your numbers are accurate and you're maximizing your financial opportunities. From categorizing your transactions to account reconciliation and financial statements, we'll take it all off your plate so you can focus on the parts of your business that light you up. Book a call with us and let's see if we'd be a great fit to work together as you grow into your next level business.